We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 382 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me again this week, the Godfather, Bill Lack. How are you today, Bill?
I'm mediocre, kind of like the Reds.
Pretty much. This has become a running gag, I guess, as we start this podcast. You know, the Reds, just kind of treading water still. Since we recorded the last podcast, the Reds have gone 3-4. They play tonight in the final game of the series against San Diego. They've lost the first two games of that series. They've gone 3-4, but they have gone from 4 games out of first place to 8 games out of first place. So it's a bad time to be treading water because the Brewers have caught fire a little bit here. So things are about where they were when we talked last, but from a games behind standpoint, it's as bad as it's been all season. Bill, what do we think? We're getting close to the trade deadline into the first half. What do we think about this team?
Same thing we've been saying all year and we've been saying every week. You know, they are what they are. I mean, and I don't expect any help to come from outside the organization. I think Doug said that last week. If this team's going to improve, somebody that's already in the system is going to have to get better. I mean, that's the only way this team improves. They either get, and healthy if they get healthy. Of course, I'm not convinced that they're ever going to be healthy at this point because it seems like more guys are going down than they're getting healthy.
Yeah, on every team. I mean, it's around the league.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when you're a bad team, it hurts you even worse.
Yeah, a team without depth, absolutely.
Without any depth, yep.
And Nick Cross saying, we're going to wait till we get healthy to see where we are. It's ludicrous. They're not going to get healthy. They're never going to get fully healthy. That's not a thing that's going to happen.
You know, if Nick Kroll's doppelganger must have been that guy, and I can't remember what his name was, but he was like the public information guy for Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, Baghdad Bob or whatever they called him.
Yeah, that's Nick Kroll.
Yeah. Well, I still think that he looks like he's in a hostage video every time they have one of those interviews with him. But
at some point, and I know you and I disagree on this, my dignity would not allow me. You're either a part of the problem or part of the solution. You can't be riding a fence. And at some point, my dignity would say, I can't go out there and say this anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at it a little different because I'm like, this guy's got one. He's been trying to get this one job for his whole professional career. He finally got one. There's only 30 of those jobs in the world. He finally got it. It's easy to say, I'd resign in protest or something. But you're not wrong. I mean,
well, do you think he's helping himself in a professional standing here? Because in your baseball, in the dugout or in the front office, you're hired to be fired. So at some point, Nick Kroll is going to be fired. Do we agree on that?
Probably.
Or he'll leave this organization.
If I were him,
do you think anything he is doing right this year is going to help his standing when another team looks at him and says, he did a really great job with the Reds?
It's helping him stay employed with his current boss. I mean, you're not wrong. How much do you have to please your boss versus how much do you have to, do you want to actually be able to sleep at night?
How much are you willing to swallow?
Yeah, yeah. No, but really, if I were Nick Kroll, I would be, once I saw how the tenor of this, I'd be reaching out to other organizations and seeing if there's anywhere he could land. And that's hard to, that's easy for me to say. The guy's worked his way all the way up in the Reds system to be the general manager. And I think could be I'm starting to wonder, but I think could be a competent general manager if given the ability. Although I don't know that we've got any evidence of that, frankly. Maybe some of that's just my personal, because I got to talk to him a couple times, and I find him to be at least, he's not Walt Jocketty. But, yeah.
That's a low barter, brother.
I know, right? I know. Nick Kroll. Let's talk about some of the things he did this week, because he didn't do anything real. There were some transactions that he was a part of. I guess he had to fax it into the league office. The Reds probably still fax things, I'm sure. But let's talk
by mail.
Yeah, let's talk about the what happened this week. First of all, right after we recorded last week, TJ Antone, the Reds' best relief pitcher, went immediately on the 10-day injured list. And the Reds called up CNL Perez and his ERA over 8. With Antone, it's his third time he's been injured this year. He has a right forearm strain.
And they said it's different than the injury that he was just on the disabled list with.
Yes.
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
I don't either, and David Bell says that Reds manager David Bell says that he's going to be out longer than he was the last time. So just after we,
and with the crack medical staff work on him, the Cincinnati Reds,
right? Yeah,
we might see him by Labor Day.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, and this comes right on the heels of losing Lucas Sims, and so. What do you have left? A bullpen full of now. I think Amir Garrett is back. I'm comfortable with Amir Garrett. He's had one bad outing in his last 9. He's back to the Amir Garrett we always knew, which is pretty good most of the time. But other than him, this bullpen has no one right now, and it just continues to highlight the fact that Bob Castellini, Nick Kroll, they didn't go get any relief pitchers, and I saw one. Noted one of the someone on Twitter that we all know, and it's a person I like. I'm not going to name the name, but who said, "Well, it's easier said than done to go out and acquire relievers for good relievers for free, basically, or something like that." And somebody responded and said, "Well, the Reds gave away 2 for free, so it's not impossible. Some teams are doing it, you know." And just today, the New York Yankees made a trade with the Diamondbacks for a relief pitcher. So you can get relievers other than the waiver wire. I'm not sure if anyone realizes that in Cincinnati.
Or make trades, like for shortstops or something like that.
It's crazy.
It is possible. The thing is, what's sad, though, is I don't think there's any doubt right now that Garrett is the quote, I'm doing air quotes here, the hammer in the bullpen right now. And our hammer has an ERA of 7.61, has given up 8 home runs in 23 innings.
Right.
I mean,
oof.
I mean, you can't say enough bad things about this bullpen. I mean, I'm not degrading the guys as people or their how hard they're trying or anything like that, but they're just not very good. I mean, compared to other major league ball players, I mean, we saw last night Osich throws a big old lollipop up there right in the middle of the plate. Next thing you know, it's deposited in the right field's feet. Seats again, and the game's over. I mean,
yeah. But sometimes when I talk about it on the Twitters, this bullpen, somebody will come back at me with, "Well, you know what? Brad Brock's doing pretty good. I trust him, and he does have a 2.76 ERA. Art Warren, what about Art Warren? He's reliable, 2.38 ERA. This is true. Even Josh Osich after that, 1.59 ERA. I'm like, yes, they have done okay. I mean, I'm happy that they haven't been completely awful. But these are the guys that you want to pitch the innings near the end of the ball game. Brad Brock, who, first of all, is 35 years old. Brad Brock has been released by the Chicago Cubs. He's been released by the New York Mets. He was not re-signed by the Kansas City Royals. They just let him walk at age 35, and he's 35. I mean, is that the guy you want at the end of the game? What about Art Warren? Art Warren's just 28. But Art Warren was, you know, waived by the Seattle Mariners. And the Reds acquired him just by sending Texas some cash, which is actually surprising. The Reds sent anyone some cash. So, you know, okay, he is what he is.
It was $4.
Right. Josh Osich, we just talked about, 32 years old, getting ready to be 33. Career negative 0.5 wins above replacement. He's been waived by the Giants, waived by the Orioles, waived by the White Sox. I mean, again, I feel like I'm bashing these guys. I don't mean to do that. They are who they are.
You're critiquing their performance. We're not bashing anybody. We're critiquing their performance.
Right, but they're being put in a position that they're just not
good enough to do.
Right. I mean, it just is what it is, and it's because of the failures of ownership. We gotta get off that.
I mean, and to backtrack for just a second here, you quoted these ERAs for these relievers, the three guys, Brock and Warren and Osich. Now, last, you know, you're right. Osich's ERA is 1.59, but he gave up three runs last night that were out on the bases that he doesn't get charged for. So let's not act like he did his job last night because his ERA is only 1.59. He gave up a grand slam that cost him the ballgame.
That's a great point.
And I don't know what Brock or Warren or any of these other guys have done with inherited runners. I haven't looked it up. But for relievers, the ERA is not the be-all, end-all, and we all know that.
It's a great point. The Reds are among the league's worst in permitting the bullpen permitting inherited runners to score. I mean, Sean Doolittle is the classic example. Sean Doolittle, I like Sean Doolittle a lot, obviously, for obvious reasons that I won't mention. But he's allowed almost every inherited runner to score. And so his ERA is 4.55, which doesn't seem awful, but you can't put him in a game in a tight spot, you know? So anyway,
he's the perfect example of a guy that the three batter rule should have run out of baseball.
You're right.
He can't get a right-handed hitter out.
He's a lefty specialist.
Right-handed hitter's OPS against him right now is 1.055.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, if you're a hitter.
Jeez. Well, let's talk about some good news. Sonny Gray. You remember Sonny Gray? He's coming back. Going to join the Reds rotation on Friday when most of you all will be listening to this episode. Sonny Gray is going to pitch. So that's outstanding news to me. Sonny Gray pitched in Louisville and, rehab start not that bad. And so he's coming back. That helps, right?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what. I like this rotation. You know, Castillo's come around. I like Gray. You know, assuming he's effective, Molly's good. Miley's been good. And I like what I've seen out of Gutierrez. You look at his numbers, they're not that great. But the only two bad games he had were the two games he started against San Diego. And they're a pretty darn good ball club.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got no issues with the 25-year-old coming up. And he's doing, we always talk about it. We have for years. He's learning. But, yeah, yep. I agree. I like that guy. Sonny Gray will be taking Tony Santion's place in the rotation. Santion was optioned back to AAA, and the Reds recalled Ashton Godot to pitch in the bullpen. Now, the good news about this, and I want to get your opinion on this, is the good news is the Reds basically announced that he's going to AAA, and he's going to move into the bullpen. Basically down there. He's going to work out of the bullpen to prepare him to come back. And they could have kept him in Cincinnati and used him in the bullpen, but he wouldn't have been able to pitch for the next few days after his start. So they sent him down, and then after 10 days, he's going to be transitioned to the bullpen, and I presume will be coming back to Cincinnati as a member of the Reds bullpen. That seems like good news to me. What do you think?
I think it's great. Whether he's effective or not, at least they're trying something different.
Right. And at least it's a guy with some talent.
They're not bringing one of the guys that's gotten creamed already this year back up. I assume Godot will probably be the one that goes back down in 10 days, barring something unforeseen.
Yeah.
But at least he's a good arm, and he's young, and he'll get better.
Yeah, 24 years old, and I think, you know, there's every chance that he could help the team out of the bullpen. We know what all these other guys are going to do, you know. They brought CNL Perez back up, and the article in the Inquirer was just like, well, he retooled his fastball when he was in AAA, and so now he's going to throw more strikes. I hope that's the case, but again, all this is just hoping that you can get something out of guys that have never shown it before.
And what do you always say, Chad? What do you always say?
That's true, but this is the most frustrating year for that. I always say hope is not a strategy, and that's all Nick Kroll and company are doing right now. Hope.
I mean, Perez has got incredible stuff. If he could just get it in the zip code of home plate, I mean, he might be an effective pitcher in the big leagues.
I hope he does.
Yep, me too.
At least with Tony Santion, we have a guy that has gotten guys out consistently at the minor league level. He's got good stuff. He's young. He's exactly the type of guy. And frankly, Vladimir Gutierrez is a guy that if and when the Reds, I don't know, Gutierrez may stick around in the rotation the rest of the year, but he's another guy that could, if they had to move somebody, rather than sending him back down to AAA, put him in the bullpen at some point. Now, I don't know who's going to take his place. I will say this, Jeff Hoffman's getting ready to do his probably his final rehab start, and the presumption is that Hoffman will return to the Reds in the bullpen. You don't think there's any way they'd put him back in the rotation, do you?
I thought I either read or heard that he had like two more rehab starts, but I may be misremembering.
I think he just has one more, but you may be right.
Nevertheless, I don't know who you could put him in front of. He didn't pitch better than Gutierrez, and as I think either you or Doug said last week, at least Hoffman was fairly effective his first time through the lineup. So maybe there's some hope he would be good at in the bullpen.
Yeah, again, that's hope.
But that's all we got, man.
This year it is. It's so frustrating. That's the entire strategy this year. Hope guys stay healthy. Hope guys play better than they we know that they can. And that's clearly not working out. And it's so frustrating because this team is so much fun in some ways. And the division is there to be taken. If they had just tried this offseason, there's no question they could they'd be in the mix to win this division. They still might be, even with the flaws in this team. That's why it's very, very frustrating. Speaking more about the bullpen, okay, Tony Santion eventually going to be in the bullpen for Cincinnati. That could be good. Jeff Hoffman maybe. That could be good. We don't know. But Michael Lorenzen. Michael Lorenzen was sent to AAA Louisville today to begin a rehab assignment.
I thought I read he was sent to Arizona.
I think he was sent to AAA. He's been in Arizona.
Oh, okay. Then what I read must have been a misprint or something like that. Anyway, whatever. But I'll count on Lorenzen when they activate him.
I know, right? Remember the heady days of the spring or right before spring training, we thought that he was going to be in the starting rotation to start the year. It seems like a million years ago now.
Yes, it does. He's been gone so long, there are times I don't even remember that he's a part of this ball club.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you think about, we're talking about hoping that guys get healthy, things like that. I don't even think about him most of the time because he's been gone for so long. It's like the old Sean Marshall, you know, back in the day, or Nick Massett.
Yeah. And this is the second year in a row.
Yeah.
With Lorenzen, that he's missed a sizable portion of the season.
Well, the problem with him, the reason why he can't stay healthy is he just does not take care of his body. I mean, he really needs to start getting healthy. It's really ridiculous.
He's an embarrassment to the uniform.
He really is.
He just is. He looks like Fred Flintstone.
Did you see who's pitching? Again, this will have already happened by the time you all listen to this, but did you see who's pitching against the Reds tonight on Thursday night, Bill?
No, I did not.
A young man named Ryan Weathers. The son of
David
Weathers.
Really?
Yes. Ryan Weathers, a high draft pick. And during the games this week, I heard Jeff Brantley, and I think he was talking to Trent Rosecrans on the radio. And by the way, you know, if you watch on MLB.TV, I know you don't, Bill, but for those of you that do, they got this feature that you can go in there and listen to the radio broadcast rather than the television broadcast. And so, when Chris Welsh is on the television broadcast, I will listen to the television broadcast because I like John Sadak. But when Welsh is not on TV, I click it over and listen to Tommy Thrall and Jeff Brantley. And that's what I was doing the other night. Y'all need to take advantage of that if you can. If there's a certain announcer you want to avoid, that's some advice. But they were talking about all the times that, you know, Ryan Weathers was just all over the place in Great American Ballpark growing up. And his dad used to pitch batting practice to him on the field all the time. And they'd go out into like the outfield. And so he could hit balls over the fence as a kid. And so, and evidently he was a great hitter, but he was drafted as a pitcher. So, yeah, our old friend David Weathers.
Like his dad.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But you remember how much we enjoyed Stormy Weathers when he was in Cincinnati?
Some days more than others.
He was, at least favorite player is not really a fair thing to say. And he really frustrated me when he came into a game. Stormy Weathers was a perfect nickname for him. So
this kid's already got a 1.3 wins above replacement for this year.
Yeah, no, he's evidently the real deal. And I hope he really plays awful in his first game in his dad's old stadium.
Yeah.
All right. Why can't the Reds beat the Padres? It's killing me.
Well, it seems like there's always one team every year that just the Reds can't beat. For years, it was the Cardinals. Now, you know, and they were a pretty good team when the Reds struggled with them. And this is a pretty good ball club San Diego's got. I'm amazed that they're not winning, or at least in closer contention to the Western Division. You know,
I think they will be before it's over.
The Giants have shocked me. I readily admit it. You know, or do we call them the past Cincinnati Reds?
They got a bunch of our old guys there, don't they?
And they're all, and at least last time I looked, they were all playing really well.
Oh yeah, ugh, frustrating. What you said is true. I saw earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday. You know, yesterday the Cubs and the Brewers played, and the Cubs were up 7-0, and then they gave up 14 unanswered runs to the Brewers. It was 14-7, and I guess I saw someone who said that if you look at the records of the Cubs and Brewers, they have the exact same record against the rest of the league, and I don't remember what that record is, but they're in head-to-head. Milwaukee had won like 9 of 12 against the Cubs. So that was the difference. That was the complete difference, was just their head-to-head games, because they were exactly even against every other team. And so that's unfortunate for the Cubs. That one team that's getting them is the team that's now running away.
In the division.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. Other transactions this week. Alejo Lopez called up to join the Cincinnati Reds. Scott Heinemann designated for assignment. He did clear waivers and has been sent to Louisville as of today. But Alejo Lopez.
Well, I'm glad we didn't lose him.
I know. He'll be back. Don't you worry about that. Alejo Lopez was hitting, 362 in Double A this year. They moved him up to Triple A, and he hit 358 in, with better numbers across the board, power numbers and everything in Triple A. And so he gets 25 years old. Gets a call up and then swings at the very first pitch and gets a hit. That was a fun moment. And, you know, I don't know if this kid, who he is, but a lot of people calling for him to get some games at third base.
I think it's hard to argue with. Except for the fact that the Reds owe Suarez $35.84 million between now and 2025.
Oh. We kind of need to tackle Eugenio Suarez, right?
Yeah, and I've got something, you know, in one of the questions that I'm going to address a little bit of Suarez.
So do you want to wait till that?
Yeah, we can wait. Unless you want to do it now.
Nah, we'll wait. Okay. Let's see. So anyway, Alejo Lopez, he's been great. He seems like a good kid. Happy for his success. Hope he does well for the Reds. Couple last things before we get into questions, because like you said, the questions are going to help us get into some of the topics that we want to discuss in this episode of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. But did you see the attendance at the old ball yard this weekend against the Braves?
Yeah, they drew pretty well.
Yeah.
They're not following the Chad rule.
That's true. Did that surprise you?
No. As I talked about a couple weeks ago, we just got back from Key West. And people want to get out. People want to go out. People want to do things. When we were in Key West, we were seeing crowds in Old Town Key West on Monday and Tuesday nights like what is usually there on Friday and Saturday nights. And I think it's the same thing with the ballparks. I think you're going to see attendance up, you know, above normal everywhere because people want to get out. People want to be around people. People want to do things. I don't know if baseball has anything to do with it, but it doesn't surprise me at all that attendance is up.
It was, again, yeah, I wasn't there intentionally, but it was kind of fun to see a crowd that was kind of rocking, kind of excited. You know, the Castillo, they won the game. The Castillo started 4-1 against the Braves, and there's about like 35,000 there at that game. And, you know, it was a wild atmosphere, and, you know, baseball's more fun when it's like that. And so, you know, more of that, I guess.
Although maybe Ebenezer Bob will decide he's got a few pennies in his pocket and let him go out at the deadline and find a reliever that costs, you know, more than $4.42.
Or he'll see that he didn't have to do anything. They're still going to come to my park. I don't have to go sign anybody. They're still coming.
Well, that's true. But, you know, their excuse at the beginning of the season was, you know, they lost so much money last year because there was no attendance. And blah, 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 blah. Or as Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. This is not going to be news by the time you all listen to this because it's going to be announced tonight. But, you know, the All-Star voting is continuing. Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker made the cut for this phase two of the voting. And so now... the voting finishes. I think it has already finished, as a matter of fact, and they're going to announce it, whereas we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. It finished at 2 p.m. Eastern time and will be announced tonight. How do we feel? Are they both going to be starters?
No. What? I think one of them will. I think they'll both make the team.
You think Castellanos will be a starter?
That would be my guess. Winker's 27. He's got a lot of years left. But it would be really cool to have them both start.
I think there's a decent chance because they have been second and third all the way. But if there's only one, it's probably going to be Castellanos. When is the last time that the Reds had two starters in the All-Star game?
I couldn't even guess without cheating.
Well, don't cheat. 2013 is the answer.
Okay, I would have guessed earlier than that. And I heard, I think you had this on Twitter or something. I didn't follow it, but I. So who were they?
Joey Votto and Brandon Phillips. I didn't say who they were or when it was on it. Okay. And before that, the last time?
I didn't remember Brandon Phillips ever starting an All-Star game.
I didn't either until I saw that. Yeah, yeah. Before that, 1995. So we're talking about more than a quarter of a century here. It happened.
Larkin was one of them, right?
Larkin. And I will. You might get the other one.
95. No, I got nothing in my head.
Well, I'm going to pull that out.
Nothing new there.
Let me write that down. That's the title of this episode. I've got nothing in my head. Ron Gant. Ron Gant started as
designated. I don't remember him starting the All-Star game.
I didn't remember it either until I went back and was looking at all this. Now,
he's a very interesting Cincinnati Reds story.
Oh yeah, definitely. In my column for the magazine this week, Cincinnati Magazine, the idea was I was going to say, all right, Castellanos and Winker are both going to make the team, and I think at this point there's no way those two don't make it. They can't slump enough before the All-Star game to be left off, unless they're injured, fingers crossed.
Knock on.
Exactly. And I said, I'm going to make the case for who else should join them. And I thought I could make a pretty good case. And then I got into it and my heart wasn't in it. And the three that I tried to make a case for were, Tyler Malley and Wade Miley. And I actually think one of those could get it if some people are, you know, how always the pitcher, somebody gets injured or somebody is not available to pitch, so they withdraw, and there's always people added later. Maybe one of those. And the other one was Tucker Barnhart. Tucker Barnhart is about middle of the pack in terms of hitting amongst National League catchers. But he's coming off his second Gold Glove year, and he's one that I could see maybe sneaking in. It's kind of a lifetime achievement award, sort of. But sentimentally, that's the guy that I would love to see get an All-Star game after, you know, what he's done for the Reds over his career. probably no chance, though, right?
I don't see it. I think one of the things that really hurts it is the one player rule. You know,
sure.
You know, some guy off of some really bad team, off of Colorado or Arizona, who probably shouldn't even deserve to make the All-Star team, is going to make it. And you know, they're going to cost a Miley or a Malley or a Barnhart a spot that you know, and they're let's be honest, they would be borderline picks. But I agree with you about Tucker. I'd love, you know, he's having an average offensive season for a major league player. So, you know, he's having his best offensive season, and just playing incredible defense still, and mentoring a young guy to take his job.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see. I would get some joy out of watching the joy that I'm sure he would have, you know, on the field, the home run derby with his family, you know, and just enjoying those festivities and get a chance to kind of experience that. I mean, you know, he's been a big league player here for what, 7-8 years. So, I mean, he's been recognized for his talents, I guess, but I don't know. I've become more and more of a Tucker Barnhart fan over the years and would love to see that. I don't expect it though, unfortunately. Can you think of anyone else that you might want to argue?
I mean, you know, at one point you could, you know, you guys talked about Antone a little last week, but just because of the role he plays, it would have been really tough to believe that anybody would have looked deep enough into the numbers to see how great he's been.
Yeah. Tyler Naquin's cooled off substantially. You know, India has been great for a rookie, but his numbers don't compare to the other second baseman around the league. You know, one catcher whose numbers were better than when I was looking up the catching numbers, one that was better than Barnhart was Tyler Stevenson.
Oh, yeah. Offensively, yeah.
Well, we got a couple of good catchers. Really pleased how that's working out.
You put our catchers together, they're having a heck of a season.
Yeah, really pleased how that's working out. I tell you what, let's answer some questions. We'll get into a few more of these topics. How about that, William?
That sounds like a plan.
Before we do this, we have some people we have to thank. You guys you're coming through for me, and I promised one patron this week that you're going to be the cleanup hitter on our beer league softball team, and so I put four names in a hat and drew them out, and so this is who's going to be the cleanup hitter, and I'm really pleased with the way it came out. No offense to the rest of you, but you'll find out why. So first new member of the family at patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can go and join the family, support the podcast, and enjoy our nuttiness on a daily basis in the Slack channel. Taryn Kidner joined us this week. He was the first to answer the call. I think even on the day the last podcast came out. So now, as I said, we got to pick a lineup spot on our beer league softball team. What you got? Taryn Kidner.
Oh, is this who won your drawing?
This is not who won the drawing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Taryn Kidner. Sounds like a pitcher to me.
It sounds like a pitcher to me, too. I'm thinking like a, you know, I had it in my mind, you know, short. I'm sorry, Taryn. I envision you being really short, but also being a flamethrower. Somehow.
Except you can't really be a flamethrower in slow pitch softball.
That's not going to help us much, is it?
He's that guy that can throw that big old arcing ball that drops straight down onto the plate.
So he's got some stuff for slow pitch softball. Yeah. And then if we join a fast pitch softball league, he'll be our pitcher.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Taryn Kidner, thank you so much for joining. Happy to have you around.
Welcome aboard.
I think everyone has gotten an invite to the Slack channel that has joined. If you didn't get it, if I missed someone, I don't think I did, just reach out to me, email me, or just leave a message at Patreon and I'll get back to you. Next comes Scott Boldman. Scott Boldman also did not win the drawing to be the cleanup hitter. Scott Boldman. Thank you, Scott, for joining us. Now, what position we have and Scott took advantage of the subscribe for a full year, and you get a little break on the dues pledge. What do we think for Scott? Scott Boldman.
I don't know. That one's...
It's got some serious Dave Kingman vibes to me for some reason.
That's 2 weeks in a row that you had a Kingman thing.
Oh, really? I guess that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, so we need to go different. I don't think we do need to.
No.
I think he's a corner outfielder.
Or a first baseman.
Well, he's going to have to be a first baseman later in his career, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's not that strong defensively. Sorry, Scott.
The legs will go and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But light tower power. Just can hit the ball into the river. So we're gonna start him in left field and hope he gets to play first base more than Adam Dunn did.
At least in Cincinnati.
Right, yeah. Should have been a first baseman long before. Scott, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us. Now, the next one here is our cleanup hitter, Bill.
Okay.
The cleanup hitter on the Red Leg Nation Radio Beer League softball team, Jonathan Wayne. John Wayne. Yes.
Oh man, that's too good.
That's too perfect.
Of course, he's the cleanup hitter.
It was too perfect. When I pulled that out, I was like, "Oh, this is perfect." John Wayne. So he's a cleanup hitter. We're gonna. He's a DH.
He plays whatever he wants to play.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Wherever he wants to play that day, he plays. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining the family. Really appreciate it, and congratulations on being our cleanup hitter. Now, the last one, I'm going to presume this is a pseudonym for our next patron. I don't know what we're going to do with this, but it's this. Indiana the Dog. Indiana the Dog. Now, I get that reference.
You know what I immediately thought of is that in the minor leagues, there's that dog that goes out and picks up the bats.
So he's the bat boy?
He's the bat boy.
He might have to be. Now, the reference, I'm assuming this is the reference, is to Indiana Jones, and in the third Indiana Jones.
That's right, you found out.
Last Crusade. Yeah. We named the dog Indiana. I'm presuming that's what that is. And if not, I'm just going to say that it is, because that's a reference to one of my favorite movies. So Indiana, whatever your name actually is, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say bullpen catcher, actually.
Okay.
Along with Bad Boy. He's going to have various roles for the team, but he's going to be the fan favorite.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's going to, they're going to have bobbleheads, posters. It's going to be amazing. So Indiana, thank you so much for joining us. You too can join us if you wish at patreon.com/redlegradio. These next viewer mail questions come from our patrons at Patreon. And so we'll begin with, we got a lot of this. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. Sorry, gang. Our family keeps growing, and so I'm just not going to be able to get to all of them. We're just not going to have enough time. But we'll try to get as many as we can. We'll do as much rapid fire as we can. This first one might take a little bit of thought. From Joe Farsing. And Joe asks this, who's on your guys' all-time enemy team? Pujols at first base, Edmonds in center field, then who? Now, let me unpack this just for a second. All-time enemy team. Now, he says enemy team, and when he says Edmonds, okay, I kind of get that. You know, but Pujols killed the Reds.
That's what I was thinking. Are we talking about guys that killed the Reds or just guys you hate?
Yeah, because those two guys, like Pujols, I never really hated him. Pujols was always the guy, like, oh, if there's one guy around the league that I could have on my team, I wanted him because he killed the Reds.
I mean, if it's somebody you just hate, Molina.
Well, you got Emerlin as the catcher.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Joe makes a second comment here, and he said he's guessing that Bill Lack has Bud Harrelson on his list. So that makes it sound like guys that we just dislike.
Yeah, it does. But the only guy that came to my mind on this is Andrew McCutchen. And not because I didn't like him, but just because he killed the Reds.
He's another guy I wish played for the Reds. Yeah, he would destroy the Reds. He was so good at his prime.
I looked it up. He's got 31 home runs against the Reds. The only team he's hit more home runs against is the Brewers.
Wow. Well, I was going to go so that gives us an outfielder with two outfielders. We've got Edmonds and McCutchen. We'll leave Pujols at first. We'll leave Bud Harrelson at second, right? Second base.
Yeah, that's fine.
The guy I had that came to mind immediately was Bill Hall. You remember the shortstop for the Brewers, Bill Hall? No?
Yeah.
I meant to pull up his splits here. I got to find his career splits against the Reds. Because this guy would turn into Babe Ruth. Yes. Every time he played the Reds. I've got it here somewhere. Let me just find it. This is scintillating
The other person that I thought of, and I looked it up, and only because I remembered Joe Morgan talking about him, but his numbers weren't that good against the Reds, as I thought they would be, was Randy Jones. Got it, won the Cy Young for the Padres.
Oh, yeah?
But he was just mediocre against the Reds. I mean, the Reds hit him about the same as everybody else did. So he wouldn't really fit here.
I'm going to go old school for our pitcher, Joaquin Andujar, who I think we need.
Ooh. Or, Andujar will work.
If you think about who you're thinking about, let me know. Against the Reds, Bill Hall, first of all, he had 181 total bases in his career against the Reds. He had no more than 119 against any other team. He had 134 against the Cubs. But he had a 938 OPS versus the Reds. 569 slugging percentage, which, you know, that's pretty good. But when you consider that his career OPS was 744, 436 yeah. career slugging, he just destroyed the Cincinnati Reds. Oh, Bill Hall, I used to have nightmares about him. So there's a shortstop. Do we have a third baseman?
Oh, I knew who I was thinking of. Pedro Martinez when he was an Expo.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Yeah. Oh, he's so good.
And he used to hit the Reds. He used to just bounce balls off of them like he pitched for the Cardinals, you know.
Right, right. What about
the third baseman? Somebody on the list here suggested Ray Knight. For punching Eric Davis.
Absolutely, without question. I had that in my head and I forgot it. It went out, so I'm glad you said that. Yes, Ray Knight, absolutely. Another outfielder, I don't know. Lance Berkman used to kill the Reds. Remember that guy for the Astros?
For the Astros, oh yeah.
He used to destroy the Reds. So that's it. That's a team, right?
Yeah, that's good enough.
There we go. Good question.
Kind of mixed in the haters and the good ball players.
That's right. Yeah, I know a lot of people must have hated Pujols because he killed the Reds. He always carried himself with class, you know. And I don't know.
Didn't he jump from like low A to the big leagues?
Oh, I don't know. Did he? He was ready. Well,
I believe he did.
There is a rumor, and I can't substantiate it, but there's a rumor that he's at least 2 or 3 years older than what his actual age says on the back of his baseball card. So that might be why. I hadn't loaded that. I do see that it has Ray Knight at third. Yeah, good call, Nathan Connor. Next question comes from, let's go with Jerry Seduth. Joey Votto's 1,000th RBI last night and his 300th home run earlier this season has made me ruminate on where he stands among the all-time great Reds. His numbers are outstanding, but will the general ineptitude of this club during his time here diminish him in the opinions of fans? It's a great question. And the answer is, I think, yes. Without question.
Well, I think his contract has made him diminished him in the opinion of a lot of fans that I don't think really understand baseball. If you don't think Joey Votto is a great player, you really don't understand the game.
Right.
Joey's fifth on this team in wins above replacement in history. He's probably going to catch, I doubt if he'll catch him this year, but next year he'll catch Frank Robinson. Theoretically, I guess he could catch Larkin, but I doubt if he very will. But finishing fourth on a team as storied as the Reds for wins above career wins above replacement is pretty strong. I'm not asking if you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but do you think he'll be in the Hall of Fame?
I think he will. Yes.
Do you?
I do. I just think that the voting body for the Hall of Fame has gotten so much younger and will continue to get younger. By the time Votto is eligible, and they'll understand more that what Votto did was very valuable. I don't think he's going to be a slam dunk unanimous. He may not be a first ballot. He may not be a fifth ballot. I think ultimately he will be a Hall of Famer, though.
He's 15th on Jaws. And guys below him that are in the Hall of Fame are Perez, Killebrew, Torrey, and Eddie Murray.
Yeah. And if you don't go Jaws is the J. Jaffe's system for predicting. It's a really, really fun way to look at the whether
to kind of rate players by position.
Yeah. Based on peak war and, 7-year run war. It's a good system. I look at the Reds' all-time wins above replacement, and I look at the top six or top seven or top seven. Let's say top eight. Let's look at the top eight, okay? Rose, Bench, Larkin, Robinson, Votto, Morgan, Pinson, and Perez. Now, if you ask the average Reds fan, we surveyed 100 Reds fans. Their answers are on the board. who's the best player in Reds history? You might hear all of those, except for, I would guess, Joey Votto, Veda Pinson, and maybe Frank Robinson even. Those are three guys.
Depending on the age of the person you were asking.
Right. I think Robinson's got a case to be the number one player in Reds history. I think you can make that argument. But some of that is age for Robinson and Pinson. But, you know, I think also those are the three guys on that list that didn't win a World Series with the Reds as well. Although Robinson did, and Pinson did at least play in one.
And they all won MVPs.
That's right. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that he has been criminally underrated his entire career in Cincinnati. And I don't know, maybe once he's not on the payroll anymore and people aren't upset about that, maybe the opinion of him with the fans will improve. You know, I just started reading a biography of Ted Williams that I've had sitting here forever. I'd read another one on Williams. I said, well, I'll read this. It's supposed to be good. And they talked early on about how Williams was just, he didn't understand how after he retired, everyone loved him when they just gave him such a hard time during his career, you know, the Boston fans. And said, but after he retired, they loved him. Joey Votto could get some of that, I think. I think he's probably going to get some of that.
I hope so, because I don't think he gets the respect he deserves now.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true in Cincinnati. I think around the league people understand.
I don't think fans do. I don't think fans in other. I don't think fans in other cities know how good Joey Votto is.
You don't think
so? The average fan in Minneapolis or the average fan in San Diego.
I think those guys see that he's won an MVP, so they know he must be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. We dive deep into the weeds here in Cincinnati.
And there have been one-offs that won MVPs too that weren't really, really good ball players over the total career. But that's not the case.
True.
Votto won one and probably should have won another and could have won another one if he hadn't been hurt. And
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man, I just love to see him play in the postseason.
It's just, you know, Joey hitting is kind of the way I always felt about Morgan and Bench. You didn't really completely appreciate him unless you get to watch him all the time.
Yes, yeah. And we, you know.
People used to say that about Veda Pinson, too.
We've been saying for years, watch him. He's going to be gone someday. You know, watch him. Watch him. He's, you know, you're going to miss him when he's gone. Understand what you have here while he's here. And I do enjoy watching him. And, you know, he's starting to look a little bit, you know, let's see, the last 28 days, .293 average, .369 on base, .520 slugging, you know? I mean.
You know, every time you do this, then he tanks.
So you're blaming it on me is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. You're just figuring that out.
What's interesting is it's interesting because it's Joey Votto, but and it's not always been the case, but his numbers versus left-handed pitchers are, and again, we're small. He's only had 65 plate appearances, but just awful. And he's crushing right-handed pitching this year. So,
and the team as a whole is struggling against left-handed pitching. So,
might be a situation where David Bell should find some opportunity to get Tyler Stevenson at first base against lefties.
Yep.
And give Votto a break or two more than he's had. You know, I love Votto. I want him to play as much as possible, but it might not be a bad idea. Of course, then you got to have Tyler Stevenson catching, and he is left-handed, so I don't know if you want that against a left-handed pitcher. But anywho, good question there. What's that?
I said anywho.
Anywho, Jordan Salisbury, this is not so much a question as a declaration. Chad, I'm taking a stand with you in a showing of solidarity in regards to not attending a game this season until the Reds acquire an actual shortstop. That's actually not my boycott. I'm not going, period, even if they acquire one now. Just not going. But thank you for joining me.
What if they traded for Mike Trout?
No. People ask me this on Twitter at least once a week. What if they...
There's nothing they could do that would get you to the ballpark this year.
No, I've been asked, what if they bring Hunter Green up for a start? No. I've been asked, what about if they make the playoffs? No, I'm not going.
No, but what I'm talking about is if they actually spent some money.
No.
Okay.
Not this season. I'm not urging anyone to join me in this.
You're making your stand.
You talk about dignity. I work hard for my money. And I'm not going to give it to Castellini if I don't have to. I know I'm giving it to him by paying for MLB TV partially, but you know what I'm saying. This is my little line in the sand. Yep. Jordan also says, also I'm concerned that if Castellanos wins the MVP, he'll walk. I can't think of a worse offseason to follow up losing the reigning National League Cy Young winner and potentially losing the National League MVP because old man Bob is crying poor. That'd be tough to lose the Cy Young Award winner and the MVP in back-to-back season and just do nothing about it.
Let's talk about Castellanos for a minute here.
Let's do it.
Do you think he'll opt out?
Yes.
I do too. If you believe that and you're the Reds front office, what do you do?
We got a question about that, so let's take that question and we'll discuss it. Jackson Lotta, let's say the Reds are 500 or below at the All-Star break. Do they get aggressive to move Castellanos before the deadline to cash in while his value is sky high? What might a trade package with him bring? So what do you do? You said you believe that he's not going to opt.
Well, if I'm Nick Kroll and I know that the ownership is not going to allow me to offer him more money to stay. So that's the position that I'm making these decisions from. Right?
Right.
I trade him.
I would not. One thing, though, that you're not taking into account that I think if you're Nick Kroll, you have to take into account is that we have a long history of Bob Castellini refusing to let popular players be traded. And I don't think there's any way, even if it means saving money in the short term. I don't think
that's a good point. And we do know that that's happened in the past.
100%. There are several trades for Billy Hamilton that were nixed by.
They could have really changed the future of this team over the last few years.
Oh, easily. If Castellini had stayed out of.
Yep. And, you know, and I had forgotten about it. I had not considered it from that perspective. And if you're going to consider the fact that they're not going to let you spend any money, you also have to consider the fact that he's not going to let you trade somebody that the fans like.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're screwed.
Yeah. The only way out of this is for them to try to renegotiate to keep him around because I think he's going to be here,
which is impossible. It's a catch 22, man.
It is.
He's going to walk and he's going to leave and they're going to get nothing for him.
I think that's the most likely scenario, don't you?
Yep, I do. And you think we're mad now that they don't have a shortstop.
They're going to lose the MVP.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd trade him anyway. Because what are you going to get? What are you going to get for 2 months? Maybe somebody's desperate.
You'd get a pretty good prospect. And a double A guy.
Yeah, I'd rather have Nick Castellanos for the rest of the season. And the hope, quote unquote, that he won't opt out. I don't see any way that he's being moved. People who talk about that. I don't think he should be moved. I think the Reds need to try to keep good players. But of course,
I think the Reds ought to try to win too. But you know. Doesn't seem to be their primary purpose.
No, it's certainly not a priority in the ownership suite. Pete Wills asks if Castellanos can pitch too, maybe he could be our very own Shohei Ohtani, and we just haven't tried it yet. I think he can do anything after watching him. Kyle Kapler, next viewer mail question here at patreon.com/redlegradio. What should I do if my 2012 NL Central Championship shirt does not fit anymore? Also, what kind of beer does Suarez need to start drinking? Suarez famously swore off beer and got in better shape in the offseason.
Whatever he was drinking 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. How about some, you think he needs some Hootie Delight?
Get moody with Hootie, man.
That's what he needs. What should he do if his National League Central Championship shirt doesn't fit anymore. Do what I did with my 2010 National League Division Champion shirt just the other day, as a matter of fact. I didn't know I had it. I think that someone in the Reds front office sent it to me right after that championship. And I found it in the bottom of a drawer. I've been going and just cleaning things out. And I looked at it and I reminisced over the roster that's on the back. And then I tossed it in the pile to be recycled at the Goodwill or wherever my wife was going to take them. So that's probably what you need to do. Just donate it or frame it, maybe.
Cut the sleeves off and go Ted Kluszewski.
Cut the sleeves off. Use it to mow the lawn. Now, that's not the. This is not the question. There's another question about Suarez. We were going to talk about Suarez.
Yeah. I can't remember where it was either.
Well, let's run through some more and then we'll get to it maybe. Nick Kroll, this is from Seth Shaner. Nick Kroll recently said the Reds would be getting healthy soon, would see where their team was before making moves. My first thought was that it would be that was ridiculous to wait to improve the team, obviously. It's still true, but more players keep getting hurt, and there's a chance it'll be after July 31st before they can say the team's actually healthy. Is this the biggest case of moving the goalposts you've ever seen? Yeah. I mean, we're just going to wait until everybody gets healthy, and then everybody gets healthy. Oh, well, too late to trade now.
Well, I don't think it's any bigger than, you know, we let two guys walk because we're saving money to so we can sign a shortstop.
Right, absolutely. And people bought it until it was obvious that they weren't going to do that. Richard Stoddard asked, biggest surprise this year players for players, one good and one bad surprise so far for the Reds this season. Biggest surprise. The good surprise for me is Jonathan India.
Oh, you absolutely.
Know? Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
Especially since he's gone into the leadoff spot.
Oh, man. He's been fantastic since moving into the leadoff spot.
His on-base percentage since he went in the leadoff spot is .394. You can't ask any more out of a leadoff spot than that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's clearly the biggest surprise. The bad surprise, although Tyler Naquin had a case for it, but he's really cooled off in recent weeks. He's still fine, but he's just not. And he's injured right now. Yeah, Winker and Castellanos are not really surprises. Maybe that they're playing so well is a little bit of a surprise, but
That's not what I would term the surprise. Right. I mean,
we knew they were good. We didn't know that India was going to be a relevant player and a leadoff hitter for this team this year.
Right. And he could be the leadoff hitter for this team for quite a while.
He could be. Have you seen his hair?
I wish I had that much hair.
Oh, man, me too. It's glorious. Bad surprise.
Suarez.
Was it a surprise?
And with no sign of getting better.
Is it a surprise?
Yeah, because I thought last year was an aberration.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this.
But
I'm surprised.
Mean, and I'm going to quote some numbers that Lance McAllister put up on. And since opening day last year, his slash is .185, .279, .421. He's hit 31 home runs. He's hit 32 multiple strikeout games. Last year he had 19 multiple strikeout games. You know, it's just 153 with men on base, 139 with two outs and runners in scoring position. And like I said earlier, he's owed $35.84 million between 2022 and 2025.
He's
untradeable.
Yeah. 29 years old. You don't see this happen. We're talking about, since the beginning of Open Day last year, 551 plate appearances, which is getting close to the neighborhood of a full season.
Yeah.
And he has a 77 OPS plus, which means he's 23% worse than the average major league hitter.
And made 13 errors in the field.
Well, part of that was because he was put in a position that he shouldn't have been in, at shortstop. What? Someone suggested on Twitter, what if this is just who he is now?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to believe that.
I don't either, because you think Joey Votto got crap over his contract.
Yeah, and Suarez is no less likable than Votto. They're both likable, but it didn't keep Votto from getting
right
crapped on.
Well, and Votto was getting crapped on when he was really playing well.
Right.
Can you imagine if you're collecting that kind of money and you're terrible? There would be no mercy. He's a great guy. I mean, it's impossible not to root for this guy. But, man, he's been terrible. And I don't know what you do about it.
And things keep happening. where I'm like, okay, you know, he's coming along. And it's because I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic.
Because you like him so much.
Because I love the guy. But, you know, you can't really...
For your favorite team.
Yeah, you can't really find anything. In the last 28 days, yes, his numbers are better in the last 28 days, for example. 198 average, 293 on base, 360 slugging. That's still garbage.
I was going to say, you're talking about they're better, and he's still hitting under 200.
Still terrible. I mean... And what's going to happen is if he, and he got a night off last night, I haven't seen the lineup for today yet. I presume he's back in the lineup. I don't know. If this is who he is, then he's going to be the Reds' third baseman for a while because they're not going to be able to unload him,
right?
Like you said, and because they're not going to bench him. I don't think. Oh, I hate it.
Would you, Duke? I would be tempted if I was David Bell to pull a Votto like they did last year, where he sat Joey down for a couple of days.
Oh, absolutely!
Do that with Suarez. It can't hurt, you know.
Absolutely, and you know, I saw that our friend Jason Linden. Well, I'm having trouble pulling up the Twitters now. There it is. He posted earlier today. Since that benching. That of last year, where is it here? Last August, when Joey Votto got quote unquote benched, he's hitting
two
right, but he's hitting 255, 351, 496, and 128 OPS plus, 13 doubles, 18 homers, and you know about half a season's worth of. At bats, a little more than half a season's worth of.
Did you say 128 OPS plus?
Yes, I think that's what it says here.
That, ain't nothing wrong with that. I'll take that all day long and twice on Sunday.
Right, more power. He's sacrificing the average for power. He's swinging it more.
But his on base percentage is still strong.
On base percentage still good. That's what frustrates me a little about Suarez is I don't see any. I don't think a benching is going to magically. Transform him. I mean, he has to know he's struggling.
The thing is, you don't seem to see any adjustment.
Right.
And not that I'd be able to see it or you'd be able to see it. You know, we're not professional level ball players. But I mean, just the complete total amount of strikeouts. I mean, and you know, and I'm not going to get on him for strikeouts, but. That's a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. I keep going back.
He's got almost twice as many strikeouts as anybody on this team.
He's
got 99. Castellanos has got 66.
Oh, my goodness. So a third more.
Yeah.
We talk about since the beginning of last season. I'm sure awful. What happened before last season? This is what I keep going back to. He injured that shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's never been the same since. And I don't know if it's just something that takes a long time to rehab and he tried to come back too quick and it's still lingering. I've not heard anything about that. He's playing every day. It may just be permanently injured.
Maybe. I don't know, but if he does not revert to back to the player they thought he was when they signed him, this may be the worst contract the Reds have ever signed.
Well...
Unless you want to call it either that or Homer Bailey's.
Yeah. What about that contract they gave to Corey Patterson? That was a bad one.
That wasn't $100 and some million or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
David Bell came. One of us mentioned David Bell a few minutes ago. And David Bell isn't getting nearly the abuse this year that he got last year from fans, from I don't think. Is it because he's got fewer choices? Or has he grown into the job a little bit?
I think that there's three things. First of all, I'm not sure that he is getting less. But if that's what your sense is, then I think it's a combination of those two things. I think some fans, I'm not abusing him like I did last year because
he's
not been given a full roster. maybe he's improved. I still don't see anything from him that makes me think he's anything more than just a mediocre manager. Just a
on the field, and, you know, and we don't know how good, you know, the players seem to love him. Of course, they always do. You never find out till later if a manager was unhappy with the players, or the players were unhappy with the manager. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, again,
you never hear that at the time.
Like I always say, at some point, if he's such a good manager off the field, wouldn't we see that in the results on the field? And if not, what does it matter?
And right.
I don't,
because there have been teams that hate the A's in the early 70s did not get along. They hated each other, but they won.
Right. And in retrospect, I think there's every reason to believe that the Reds won more in that 2010 to 2013 era because of Dusty Baker's, influence in the clubhouse, certainly not his on-field stuff, which killed him in the playoffs. But I think there's reason to believe that. So I don't, he doesn't need to be fired, but I don't know what he's done to show that he deserves the job either. He's just doing the best he can with what he's got, I guess. Mike Perry asks, this may be the easiest question. No, it's not that easy now that I think about it. I thought it was initially. You can only pick one. Which would make the 2021 Reds win more? The Nasty Boys in their prime or Fernando Tatis Jr.? This is actually pretty easy, I think.
Nasty Boys.
It's the Nasty Boys. This team needs... I mean, well, they need...
Offense isn't the problem.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Tatis would help immensely. The guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
He really is. But you give me Randy Myers, Rob Dibble, and Norm Charlton in the back of the bullpen, and this team all of a sudden is the best team in the division. I think even without a shortstop. I truly believe that.
With the starting pitching we got, and we're almost... And our starters get us into the sixth or seventh inning every night. Then you bring them three hammers, or two of them every three, two of them every day, or two of them every 3 days.
Well, that's what they said.
You're going to give up a whole lot of ball games.
Right. That's what they said in 1990. They make it a six inning ball game.
Yep.
Because you weren't going to get past it. Occasionally you would, but very rarely. So that's my answer. Good question. Mike Perry. Let's see here. We're running out of time. Do we have, is there another question that you see that you are,
We aren't doing the, or just for Thomas Dennis, we aren't doing this early because I can't stay up late. I have a commitment later today.
That's actually true. That's actually true.
Even though we usually, and actually we're only recording a couple hours earlier than we normally do when you and I do this.
The fact is that we usually record late at night until Bill's in the rotation. Then we go earlier.
I'm the only one that's not a night owl of all these guys.
That's true. Let's see.
And I'm the one that's retired.
Right, exactly. You should be able to stay up. Nathan Connor asks, wonder how many Votto contract complainers are also calling for a big contract for Castellanos? Probably all of them.
That's a really good question.
It is. And they'll complain about Castellanos when he's not this good in 3 years.
Every year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, baseball fans. James Urban has a question about that. What do you guys think about checking the pitchers for sticky stuff? Feel like it was foolish to add it mid-season with no training for umpires and what's legal and what's not. But was curious what you guys thought about it. You have a quick thought about?
I think it's irrelevant. I haven't heard that there's been any big change in how effective the pitching's been since they started doing it.
There has been.
I think
spin rates are way down.
Spin rates are down, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot more runs being scored.
I think they're up. I'm not sure exactly how much, but anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. It's just much ado. I'm not going to say much ado about nothing, but. And the other thing is, now have I seen this wrong? Is the only time they're checking is the first time a pitcher comes off the mound?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Because I know, like, the couple of nights I watched, they checked the both pitchers both nights after the end of the first inning.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you know when they're going to check you.
right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That'd be a good point. I think it's something had to happen. I think they had to crack down on it. I think just like everything else for Major League Baseball, the way they rolled it out was just stupid. And, you know, automatic suspensions without actually testing what the substances are. The Players Association is going to have a lot to say about this in the upcoming negotiations. But again, this was one of a number of things that I think have made baseball less aesthetically pleasing to watch. And, I think they needed to do something, but I don't know. I'm not sure how much this is helping or what, but, all right, let's see here. Oh, Jace Linford can't ask your question, but the answer is the first option in your question, because I can just ignore that, like I do every other Bruce Springsteen song. Joey Gaditza, sorry, the Lightning are going to win. Rich, I love you, buddy, but that one's too long for us to get to, but I would never have given that ball, the Luis Quiñones foul ball, to a girlfriend. You got to be a patron to understand what these questions are, I guess. But last comment here and question, we'll get out on Dave Hammonds, who was on our one of our new guys from last week. Honored to be a new addition to the Beer League softball team. Just so you're aware, I typically bring the beers to the games of my softball team now. So sleep easy, knowing that we will always have a full cooler. Dave,
so now I've got a new position. It's cooler guard.
There you go. And Dave is
player manager, cooler guard.
And Dave Hammonds is the most valuable player right now, easily. Follow-up question, since the answer to fans' requests of actually putting together a competent team is just to give us more bobblehead days, I think I would settle on a dual bobblehead of Winker and Castellanos. What would be your dream bobblehead to serve as compensation for being so cheap on players? This would be the last one. What's your dream bobblehead?
Wow. I don't know. You got a thought? Let me think about it for a second.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I want a Billy Hamilton, Adam Dunn. Or I lean towards Luis Alberto Bonilla and Willie Mopeña. But I'm going back with Billy Hamilton and Adam Dunn.
Well, I got one. A Rob Dibble, Lou Piniella clubhouse fight bobblehead.
Hey, there we go.
How about since we were talking about the Nasty Boys?
There we go. Depicting them in their fight with their heads bobbing.
Yeah, with both their heads bobbing.
Good question there. Appreciate you all for joining us here at Red Leg Nation Radio, episode number 382. Crazy. Any final thoughts for us, Bill, before we get out of here?
Let's try to go over 500 next week.
Yeah, Reds one game under 500. They were one game over, I think, when we talked last week. Let's get, if they can get two games over 500, I think we need to have an emergency podcast. I don't anticipate that happening.
Your mouth, God's ear.
There we go. Thank you all for...
I mean, after tonight, they got the Cubs for three, and then they got the Royals. Cubs are getting, you know, been getting pounded.
Fingers crossed.
If the bullpen could just get a few guys out.
Yeah, and they've actually done better since... We should have talked about this earlier. They've done better since Antone went on the injured list than expected, but it's smoke and mirrors. I'm telling you, it's all smoke and mirrors. So
Perez's new fastball is going to be the difference.
There we go. The Reds are going 7-0 this week. Thank you all for listening. As always, you can find us wherever you find your podcast. Appreciate if you go leave a rating or review. If you want to, you can join the family at patreon.com/redlegradio, where you can join our Slack channel. Just be join the family and join the zaniness that we get into. But again, you don't have to. This Friday podcast is always going to remain free for everyone. And so tell your friends about it. If you like us, talk about us. If you don't, keep your mouth shut. Good talking to you again, Bill.
Yep, we're free for a reason.
Exactly. Worth every penny. For Bill Lack,
every penny.
For Bill Lack and Frank Robinson, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.